Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for a look back on today's match. This is the Full Time Report with the voices of our Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore.
Atlanta United are brought to you by Piedmont Quick Care. One stop to better. Country Financial. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started at TakeSimpleSteps.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Heineken, Aaron's, the perfect choice for your budget and style with top brands in furniture, electronics, and appliances. Scana, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. AT&T, more for your thing. That's our thing. Associated Credit Union, Equifax. Proud partner of your Atlanta United and your local Ford dealer.
The home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A feisty, emotional match tonight here at Red Bull Arena with Atlanta United seeing their five-match losing streak end, their 526-minute shutout streak come to an end with a 1-0 loss to New York Red Bulls. The Red Bulls are playing down a man for the final hour, and I know that's what a lot of you listening are kind of stuck on right now. You never want to lose a match when you're up a man for an hour. It should be noted, Red Bulls, the last five regular season MLS matches in which they have had a red card, they're 3-0-2. Just saying, it's never easy. It's never as easy as you think, especially when you're playing on the road, but it is a disappointing result for Atlanta United. Not the end of the world in terms of the overall standings. I strongly disagree with what some of you are saying on Twitter that this is the worst loss in club history.
Toronto last year. It's not even close.
I would even say, Houston last year, though, early in the season. The loss here, the 2-0 loss last September would be on there. I mean, there are a lot more on the list than this one.
The loss here last year, regular season, would be on it for sure. But the Toronto loss where you had a trophy on the line and you talk about capitulation, that was it. Yeah. And you bounce back. And that's what you have to take out of this. You are a tired team. You've had a lot of miles put on you, and you've played a lot of teams that have had more rest than you. Tonight was a night where that really showed itself, even with 10 men. The red card simplified things. Seattle against LAFC earlier this season. Early red card to Christian Roldan, 10th minute. It was already 1-1 at that point. It finished 1-1. Best attacking team in the league. They couldn't break down 10-man Seattle because they had to sit and defend and get compact. Atlanta could not break the Red Bulls down. They're a very good defensive team, and I think the Red Bulls might have learned something about some different ways they can defend and deal with opponents tonight.
Man of the match brought to you by Heineken. And when Deion Pereira was subbed on after Red Bulls scored the goal in the 65th minute, he came in and immediately caused a lot of problems down the left side that Michael Murillo and Daniel Royer were really, really struggling to deal with. Statistically, a tepid night for Deion Pereira, so I can't really get you into that as far as the statistical impact of his play, but it felt like Deion Pereira was asking a lot of questions of Red Bulls after he came in and looked the most dangerous for Atlanta United in the attack tonight.
It was at the point in the final 10 minutes that Deion Pereira was the player you wanted with the ball at his feet. You wanted Deion Pereira with chances to run at defenders, and he consistently did, and he consistently won his 1v1 duels from a dribbling perspective. Deion Pereira showed tonight that he can give you more minutes and dangerous minutes at that.
So Deion Pereira, our man of the match, brought to you by Heineken. Final stats, Atlanta United with 12 shots, 2 on target. Red Bulls with 6 shots, 2 on target. Atlanta United earned 10 corners to 1 for New York. And Atlanta United had 67% of the ball. Their second half possession, 77%. When I tell you the Tom Barlow goal was against the run of play, 77% possession in the second half. is proof of that. But Red Bulls won 53% of the duels. That was a problem for Atlanta United. And Red Bulls find a way to win a match in which they had the ball only 33% of the time, and they passed it only 65%. But that's them. That's been their playbook all year.
That's what they do. They don't need much of the ball. They were very good in transition, even with the disadvantage of men. They were very good in their transition. Earlier, right before that, we talked about it, with that bank of four behind the forward, when Atlanta United did not finish a play with a shot, goes out for a goal kick, it's a save, and you can regroup. When they turned the ball over, the Red Bulls had a chance to go either 5v5 or 5v less than that because Atlanta was committing numbers forward. It was a very smart tactical plan from Chris Armas, and he nailed it at halftime with this group.
So that is the statistical story. When we come back, we'll have the highlights as Atlanta United falls 1-0 to New York Red Bulls. Again, send us your questions and your comments on Twitter at MikeConti929 and at Longshoe. More of the full-time report coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with more full-time report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta United suffering a 1-0 loss here at Red Bull Arena to 10-man New York Red Bulls. They played down a man for the final hour of this match. Atlanta United wants to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they donate $2,000 to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $12,000. Atlanta United's consecutive minute shutout streak ends at 526 minutes, which is the seventh longest streak in MLS history and the longest in the last 6 years. Let's get to the highlights now. Here was the red card sequence, and quite frankly, up to this point, Atlanta United was playing pretty well. After this point, Red Bulls really looked a lot better. Even though Atlanta United dominated the ball, it looked like Atlanta United was uncomfortable. Here was the sequence. It was Tim Parker on denial of an obvious goal-scoring opportunity on Joseph Martinez that had Red Bulls playing down a man. From left to right, it falls right to Julian Gressel, 40 yards from goal. Played through to Joseph, who dribbles around Parker. Joseph shoots, big save off his line. Robles out for a corner.
They call
the
foul back.
Now they call a foul at the edge of the 18, and Atlanta United will get a free kick.
There is a question about denying an obvious goal-scoring opportunity outside the area,
which would mean
a red card.
That would be a red card, and now Sviga talking to Emre Tarić and Robles and touching. Is he a red card?
Yes,
They have red carded Parker for dog show. Now, that was an interesting sequence because, and I think the fans were confused because Joseph didn't dive or go down. He kept playing, and Sviga actually played advantage initially, then brought the play back for the red card. But for some reason, I'm seeing a lot of debate on social media as to whether or not that was a valid call. That's a dog show red 100 times out of 100, isn't it?
Easy, easy call. He grabbed Joseph Martinez's arm and pulled him back. He kind of armbarred him. Really didn't need to do that in that moment because Joseph was outside the 18 and off to the right. It wasn't like he was dead in on goal. I was a little surprised that Parker did it, but it was the correct call. And credit to Sabiga and Edvin Jurasevic for getting it right. And also credit Joseph for not diving. Joseph tried to continue to play. It's a play that happens a million times, and you usually see the forward go down to try to get the call. Credit to the referees for giving the call correctly. Atlanta just couldn't take full advantage of it.
No, and after Atlanta United dominated possession for the first 20 minutes of the second half, Red Bulls were able to hit them on a counter and a stunning goal, a gut punch by MLS rookie Tom Barlow, the game winner in the 65th minute. Pereira then digs for the ball back. Shea gets a stab at it as well. Bounces off Shea into the middle of the park. And now Red Bulls will be able to walk out of the defensive third and come down the middle as it's sent through to Royer down the wing. Royer's cross to the back post. Header! Bounces in! It's Barlow! Completely against the run of play, the Red Bulls have scored! So I'm watching you over there looking at some replays, Jason. Have you been able to figure out what went wrong in that goal?
Well, the thing that's surprising about it is who led the break for the New York Red Bulls. The center back who came on as a sub, Sean Nealis, not the player you would expect to be leading the break. That's incredible frame of presence of mind from him to start the break when Breck Shea had went forward, and it's that turnover that we talked about. And this time it's not even the front bank of four for the Red Bulls starting the break. It's a center back stepping forward, playing it out to Royer. Royer's able to deliver across completely uncontested. And then Barlow is completely uncontested on the back post. Atlanta had a massive breakdown in transition defense here, and they were punished for it.
That goal then allowed Red Bulls to really get compact in their defensive third. And then in stoppage time, we saw a total masterclass by Red Bulls in how to run out the clock in a soccer match. And I know some of you will probably say they were playing cynically. No, no. They were playing very smartly. And up until the bizarre sequence right at the death where Spiga called a foul but then did not allow Atlanta United to take a free kick and the ensuing hold me back stuff that happened out there on the pitch. You got to give Red Bulls a lot of credit for seeing out that match, reducing Atlanta United to corner kicks, but really, and they have a height advantage on those corners, but Atlanta United never really looked close on any of the corner kicks.
No, I'm surprised Atlanta didn't try to go with something short sooner. They kept trying to really do the same thing, and the Red Bulls are the best team in the air in the league. They're going to win those aerial duels far more often than not. Atlanta United needs to work on set pieces for sure, but this honestly reminds me a lot of 2017 when Tata Martino was implementing his style of play. Set pieces were one of the last things that they really put a lot of time into. Right now, the set pieces, corners, or the free kicks that are going to be crosses, pretty vanilla. They need to start adding some elements to it, and the short corner is something that they've done a lot over the years. You have a lot of players who would be comfortable doing it. Like to see more of that against a team like the Red Bulls.
The red card to Tim Parker, by the way, was the hot play of the match, brought to you by Scana. When we come back, we will take your questions and your comments on Twitter as Atlanta United falls to New York Red Bulls 1-0. Go ahead, last call now at Mike Conti 929 and at Longshoe. We'll get to all of that right after this here on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Full time! This is the Full Time Report
on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Back on the full-time report, disappointing night for Atlanta United, no doubt about it, playing up a man for an hour, but losing to New York Red Bulls 1-0, and they still have not scored a goal here at Red Bull Arena. This was the fourth time they have played in this building, and they still have yet to score a goal here. Everything is better when Atlanta United wins. To date, a total of $6,000 has been donated to Piedmont Healthcare. As a not-for-profit hospital system, Piedmont Healthcare relies on the generosity of donors to expand healthcare services in our community. Atlanta United is proud to be a Piedmont donor. All right, let's get to your questions and your comments on Twitter.
Yeah, make sure they're real accounts. There's some fake accounts out there. If you're hopping onto Twitter right now, be very careful when you look at these things and read them and think before you retweet or make comments that will be embarrassing later on. Well, I'm not going to talk about what the account is
because
I'm not going to give it that credit, but be very careful when you hop on Twitter. It's a shame that these things are popping up right now.
Well, I know Ricky Ricardo is legit.
Yes, we know Ricky Ricardo is real.
He says, it felt like a decent game, but it's real hard to feel good about a game where you're up a man 60 minutes and give up a goal to someone making their second appearance and you don't score or get a result. I don't really care about the shutout streak that much, just wins. I empathize with everything he said. I get it.
He's 100% right. There's nothing to feel good about coming out of it. It's what you do with it. Atlanta United was not good enough on the day. They were not good enough once it went to 11-10. It's a lot harder, 11-10, than you think it is because it simplifies things defensively for the opposition.
I remember last June, Atlanta United 11-9 versus Philadelphia, getting outplayed by Philadelphia for a good stretch of that match.
Yeah, a few stretches. I wouldn't go quite that far, but it's not that easy. And for a team that's very good defensively, I mean, honestly, it just makes things easier for the Red Bulls in some ways to sit and defend and then get out on the break, and that's where they're good. There's not a lot to feel good about here. Honestly, Deion Pereira's performance and his fearlessness at the end is probably the thing I feel best about coming out of this. They have to pick themselves up and go to Real Salt Lake and wash this out of their mouth right now.
Mr. Green says, not the result we wanted, up a man for an hour. Felt like we couldn't do anything but dump empty crosses into a congested box late in the match. But, yeah, I mean, Red Bulls had the ability to load up the box in their defensive third after scoring the goal, correct?
Correct, but you have to run at them through the middle sometimes. And it felt like it was get it wide and put in a cross, get it wide and put in a cross. This is what we see with this team occasionally when it's difficult to break somebody down. They rely on crosses, and for the Red Bulls, even without Tim Parker, with Sean Nealis, it makes the game easy for him. He's defending crosses. He's done that his whole life, even before he became a professional player. And Amro Tarek was outstanding for the Red Bulls.
John Roper, was it tired legs? Because it felt like there were opportunities, but not many shots on target.
Tired legs factored into it, for sure. It's not a complete excuse, but tired legs, you did not have the same spark as you normally would. You didn't have the same sharpness. That's 100% true. The schedule they've been on has been brutal, and you've played teams for the last four matches that have had more rest than you. It adds up. It's not, it doesn't justify it, but it adds up, and it had an impact on the match, absolutely.
At Platinum C, this will be an amazing rematch in July.
Yes, it will.
Hashtag July, by the way. Thank you for that, Platinum C. And again, if you didn't hear, maybe you're just tuning us in now, this rematch will be played in July right after the Women's World Cup final. It'll be very similar to the stage that the league gave Atlanta United in Seattle last year at the Benz. Full capacity Mercedes-Benz Stadium in early July. It'll be the lead out to the World Cup final in France. And what happened at the end, I don't anticipate is going to be forgotten anytime soon. It was not by any means serious, but it was enough that will be remembered.
There was more to it than a simple hold me back kind of thing. There was definitely more to it than that. There was some genuine aggression. There was some genuine anger both ways, and there was probably some genuine taunting from the Red Bull side because they got the win and they felt really good about it. All that's fine. All that adds up to an environment in July which is going to be spectacular at the Benz, and if you see a steel cage come down from the roof around the field, you know why.
No doubt about it. Ed Million says, disappointing, but you were right on, Jason. The card simplified the plan for the Red Bulls, and the match compression and travel schedule caught up to Atlanta, I think. Still walked away with this stretch with a nice haul of points. We stated this on the Five Stripes Countdown. I'll restate it again right now. Red Bulls had the whole week off. Atlanta United had to go from Atlanta to Vancouver to here. That is a huge, huge advantage for the home team.
It's a lot. What's frustrating in some ways is I wonder where this match would have went before the red card, or if the red card hadn't happened. I wonder where it was trending. It felt like early on, very frantic, Red Bulls were pressing, Atlanta had problems. Then Atlanta decided, you know what, we're not going to play through the press. We're going to play direct. They did that, and they were starting to force New York back, and New York was having a little more of the ball and turning it over in bad spots, and Atlanta had chances. The red card made things very simple to where New York said, well, we're not pressing anymore. We're going to sit back. And they did it two different ways. They did it a little bit higher up the field, around midfield with two compact lines of four. But then after they got the goal, they dropped deeper. Atlanta could not find the space between the lines. And it's something that Pitti Martinez and Joseph and Julian Gressel and Tito Villalba have to be able to do.
Both Shiva and Joe Laszlo expressing frustration over Atlanta United's corner kicks. They had 10 today. None really looked threatening. Shiva says, we had 10 corners, couldn't capitalize on any of them. I feel like the team needs to work on this.
They have to.
You touched on.
Yeah, it's something that has to become a priority. I think they do need to break in the short corner from time to time. It just felt useless today to keep pumping them into the 18 and watch New York center backs win battles.
All right. I'm going to try to paraphrase a couple tweets here from ETL UTD fan number one, Five Stripe Wildcat, and someone else tweeted this too. But to paraphrase, with Barco out, throwing out the idea of Nagby at number 10 and Pitti out wide because it feels to them that Pitti is struggling in the role of number 10, though I would point out, before you answer, that I saw Pitti on both touch lines quite a bit today.
Yeah, I thought Pitti as the number 10 after Barco's departure against Orlando was good. I think he was pretty good in Vancouver. I think he was mostly ineffective today. He had a couple flashes. He also took some hits, and I think his frustration took his head out of the game a little bit, and that's disappointing. You want to see more from Pitti Martinez. I offered up that suggestion when the Barco announcement came that we would maybe see that from time to time with Nagby driving the team forward and Pitti out wide to take some of the pressure off of him. I've seen a lot of tweets about this team missing Ezekiel Barco right now, and this would have been a game where Barco would have been very effective, I think.
One more from Waffle House, and then we're going to look ahead to RSL. He says, so we still can't break down two lines of four after we've seen this multiple times. I'm confused as to why we purchased players that are supposed to fix this, he says.
Well, you didn't purchase Pity Martinez to fix that. You purchased Pity Martinez because he's a great player, and he's not playing up to his usual standard, and he would tell you that. He would tell you the same thing. He wants to perform better. He was frustrated with himself, and he was frustrated with some of the fouls that he felt like he should have gotten and didn't get. He is that player. You know, it's not imaginary that he was called up to the Argentina national team. It's not imaginary he's on their Copa America preliminary squad. That's real. He hasn't performed at that level enough for Atlanta United yet. It took him a while at River Plate to get settled. It took Ezekiel Barco a while to get settled last year. It takes players a while sometimes when they come to this league. You need to see it more, but you also need to figure out right now, while you're not getting it, what can you do to help him along, but what can you also do to keep this team getting positive results?
Well, the good news for Atlanta United, it's not ideal, but you are going to have a couple days off compared to what you've been dealing with through most of the month of May, because you are not going to play again until Friday. You'll have a relatively short flight back to Atlanta tomorrow for region, full days of training at the training ground on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then you go out to play a resurgent Real Salt Lake on Friday. RSL has won two in a row, and they have scored three goals in both of those matches.
Let's talk about one more complication from today. This game was originally going to be a 1 o'clock kick.
Correct.
Atlanta United was going to head back home afterwards. When the game time was moved back, that option went off the table. You lost the day. You lost the day to regen and recover to prepare for Salt Lake after a schedule that's already been brutal without many days to recover, period.
That is also true, but at least it's not a five-hour flight back from Vancouver. It's only 90 minutes back from Newark.
True.
But yes, it is one more complication.
You could be home tonight, and you're not going to be.
Yeah, but the hotel in Hoboken is, like, really, really nice.
I mean,
like,
I'm really happy about it.
I'm thrilled about it.
I don't know if Frank DeBoer's happy about it.
Yes, and he is the one that matters, not the announcers. I can promise you that. Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to look ahead to this RSL match. RSL's been inconsistent, but they are starting to really put it together. A team with a lot of quality. A team that might, though, be without Joel Plata Friday night. We'll get into all those storylines right after this. The final again tonight here in New Jersey. Atlanta United falling to a 10-man Red Bull side, 1-0. Here on the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back to the full-time report. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So, Atlanta United in their fourth visit to Red Bull Arena. Now 0-3-1 in this building. 1-5-1 all-time against Red Bulls, and they still have never scored in this building. 1-0 losers to Red Bulls this evening on a night where they played up a man for the final minute. So now Atlanta United will go home tomorrow, like we said. They'll have a couple days of training in Marietta, and then they'll head out to Salt Lake City on Thursday night and play Real Salt Lake on Friday. They have won two in a row, 3-2 winners over Colorado two matches ago. Their most recent match yesterday, they blew out Toronto 3-0 and really dominated them. So they're getting it together. Mike Petke is one of our favorite managers in MLS. He does a really nice job. A lot of quality on this team. Questions about if Joel Plata is going to be there much longer. But Atlanta United, I thought one of their better performances all year last year was their 2-0 win over Real Salt Lake at the end of that very long West Coast road trip that they had. This time now they have to play them at Rio Tinto Stadium, and it's never easy to win out there.
It's never easy to win out there. Real Salt Lake has been a very inconsistent team in 2019, but they have a lot of quality. Albert Rusnak's one of the most talented players in the league. Demir Krylock, he can play a number of different positions, and he's capable of scoring spectacular goals. Sebastian Salcedo scored an outstanding goal over the weekend, if you haven't seen that one, against Toronto. They have a lot of young talent. It's hard to predict what RSL you're going to see game to game. I think that's the challenge for Mike Petke. He's tried to rotate his lineup a little bit. Brooks Lennon has been in and out of the lineup this year. Joel Plata has not started a match this year. He's been off the bench primarily. Looks like he's headed to Mexico, maybe in the summer transfer window, maybe sooner. We'll have to wait and see how that works out. this is a team that can cause Atlanta some problems, especially with Rusnak in the middle of the field. Atlanta has to shut him down. If they can stop him from hurting them, I think they can handle everything out wide. But Albert Rusnak's the key for me.
And Atlanta United, again, regardless of what happened tonight, this has been a very good month for them so far. A win at Sporting Kansas City 3-0, two wins at home over Toronto and Orlando, both shutouts, a shutout Wednesday in Vancouver. Can't win them all. Not happy losing, especially up a man for an hour tonight. Long way to go in this season. Hopefully Atlanta United responds to this defeat the same way they did in their defeat last year to New York Red Bulls, which almost catapulted them to a supporter shield and certainly did catapult them to a run through the MLS Cup playoffs. So we'll be on the air Friday night at 8:30 from Rio Tinto Stadium in Sandy, Utah. No English language TV broadcast of that game, by the way. So you can sync up Unimas with us on the radio for more Five Stripes After Dark on the West Coast. Those are always very fun matches.
Yeah, the game in Utah a couple of years ago was an interesting one. Atlanta did come out of that 3-1 winners in a pretty weird, wild match. I don't know if I want weird and wild. Just 3 points would be nice.
Yeah, that would be nice. No doubt about it. So we'll see what happens on Friday night as this long and busy stretch of the month of May continues. But that'll do it for us tonight here at Red Bull Arena. For our producer, Dylan Matthews, and for Jason Longshore, I'm Mike Conti. One more time, the final. Red Bulls 1-0 over Atlanta United. We'll see you Friday from Utah here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You've been listening to MLS action of our Atlanta United. Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long.
Atlanta United are brought to you by Piedmont Quick Care. One stop to better. Country Financial. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started at TakeSimpleSteps.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Heineken, Aaron's, the perfect choice for your budget and style with top brands in furniture, electronics, and appliances. Scana, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. AT&T, more for your thing. That's our thing. Associated Credit Union, Equifax, proud partner of your Atlanta United. And your local Ford dealer.
The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The lottery balls are picked, and our Hawks know where they stand.
The eighth pick will be made by the Atlanta Hawks. Pick number 10 will be made by the Atlanta Hawks.
It's on to the NBA Draft. Join us for our live coverage from Brooklyn's Barclays Center, Thursday, June 20th.
As our Hawks hope to build onto this young team.
Sit down and talk with all these guys for, 30 minutes when they come through. It's really valuable to us.
The future of our Hawks are taking shape before our eyes.
And you can catch it all live right here.
The 2019 NBA Draft. Catch it here.
Because our Hawks play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.